Friday afternoon, I had the joy of walking through my mother's garden and been doing that for some 50 years now. Something she always had, even when we lived in Alaska, she grew cherry tomatoes in the window. But, you know, there's just something special about a garden. You know, God put us in a garden to begin with and had a plan for us there at creation with great potential to cultivate, to grow, and to get a return. And we didn't do so good, you know. We got thrown out of the garden. You know, Adam was explaining to Cain and Abel about that. He said, "Your mother ate us out of house and home." That was his perspective on that. I think there's a part of him involved in that as well. But you know, the issue that we have is that there are things that you can learn that will change how your garden grows. And many of you have discovered that over time. If you garden, that you can just put that seed out there, but then you can learn that there's a way to do that will affect the harvest. And so I want to talk today about this idea that how you're handling life as God serves it to you can actually be determining whether or not your life is a fruitful garden. And so I brought some fruit to show off this morning and just to give you a thought to remember as we talk about this. Like that there is, it's not as though there's only one thing that God wants to produce in your life. So there's many things that he's wanting to cultivate. And so you may be doing well in one area, and yet you may notice that something about how I'm handling this is not right, and I'm not seeing the fruit of the Spirit in this area. I'm not seeing what he wants to produce. And so I want to talk to you about this. I had originally titled this sermon, Curing the Fruitless Garden. That just seemed a little negative. So I've chosen a more optimistic idea of growing a fruitful garden. And the passage we'll be utilizing today is in Luke chapter 8. But if you'll notice on your notes there that actually we have three passages because all of the synoptic gospels have this story in them and explaining it. So I'm going to share with you just briefly here just this story, and then we'll take a look at what it could mean for us as a church family, what it can mean for you as a person, what it can mean for your own personal family. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Another seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. With those words, Jesus put out what I call the parable of the soil. Many people call it the parable of the sower, but the subject is the soil. But when he said that, he was done. Some of you would love that kind of a message. Hallelujah, it's lunchtime. We're ready. We're out of here. But can you imagine? That's all he said. Now, you've heard stories over the years. You've heard sermons on this over the years. So your mind's already going to the application, the implications of this story. But when Jesus spoke this the first time, I want you to put yourself there. You know, maybe it's alongside the Sea of Galilee. I'm guessing he probably told this story more than once. He says, here, The sower does this, the sower does this, the seed does this. If you got ears to hear, hear it. Parables are interesting pictures. Because parables will provide actually a roadblock to the one who has no understanding or no hunger. And it will provide an invitation to the one who says, I don't get it. And I've wondered sometimes if I should quit working so hard at being clear and work harder at being obtuse. Because Jesus very clearly many times was. And says, if you want to get it, you're going to have to go after it. And so even as we look at this today, I want to teach you some, just share with you just a couple basic principles about Bible study. Because there's some great things you can learn by correlating Scripture, all right? And so some of you notice you popped open to Luke and you say, wait a minute, those were not the verses of Luke. No, I was reading out of Mark. Because Mark's description of the story provides details that Luke's description of the story does not. But Luke's explanation of the story provides details that Mark's explanation of the story does not, which means you ought to read your whole Bible. Just a little clue there, all right? So you get these things by correlating one passage to another. Don't just take one thought from one verse and build your doctrine. Correlate all of Scripture. So we're going to do a little bit of that today. So he had these statements that he's been making here in inviting them to understand something very basic, all right? Life is in the seed. Yeah, you want to talk about the soil, but let's talk about the issue first of all. Life is in the seed. Seeds bring this life to life, okay? And the seed of life is what? It's the Word of God. Okay? See, because when he finishes teaching this parable, his disciples come to him and they say, huh? That is James Downing translation, just a little loose, but what are you talking about? What does this mean? And I think that ought to encourage you. When you read your Bible sometimes and you're like, I don't get it. Great. Go back to the author. See? Humble yourself and go back to the author. You should never read your Bible without talking to the author about what you're reading because he can interpret it to you. Okay? And so, in verse 11 of Luke chapter 8, he gives this further explanation. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Have you found the Word of God to be a living seed? How are you treating it? We're going to talk about that today because it determines the health of your garden. Is what are you doing with the Word of God? It will change your whole life. It says the seed is the Word of God. And those beside the road are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so they will not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And they have no firm root. And while they believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and they go on their way, and they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and a good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. Oh yeah, if you work in a garden, you know. There is this thing called perseverance. You don't get tomatoes in August if you don't persevere through June and July. Isn't that right? There's a work to be done. So life is in the seed. The seed is the Word of God. So it provides us a potential picture of what can happen in your heart, in your life, if you grow your relationship with God through the Word. All right? So look what he says. The seed's the Word. And then he goes through and he describes these four types of soil. When he gets to the end, he says the good soil will do this. And so I just want to provide you that positive look before we do examining the other types of soil. And this is the overall, is that the Word produces abundant fruit when your heart embraces its message. The Word will produce abundant fruit when your heart fully embraces this message. This truth. The condition of the soil is what? It's your heart. Did you catch that? Luke 8:15. All right? These are the good soil. These are the ones who've heard the Word in an honest and a good what? Heart. See? So he's saying, so we're talking about the soil is the heart. All right, so now when we go through and look at these, we've been given an interpretive point that explains the parable. The soil is hearts. All right, the seed is the Word of God. So he says there's different conditions of heart that God works in, okay? And the Word will produce abundant fruit when your heart fully embraces this message. If you get it when you're given it, it'll change you. And that's my joy, that's my testimony to you, that while I am not yet all I ought to be, I'm not what I used to be, God's Word is continually changing me. And my wife is very thankful. She thought she knew what she was getting. But you know, we're all in a process, aren't we? And so there's this thing to be experienced. So notice here now, what he says and so what you can do, this is part of correlation. So you've got the parable up here, Luke 8:5. The sower went out to sow his seed. He sowed, some fell beside the road, it was trampled under feet, the birds ate it up. So that's verse 5. Now the explanation of verse 5, stick your finger down there a little farther, okay, it's verse 12. Those beside the road are those who've heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they will not believe and be saved. Friends, before I go any farther, let me just point out something that just kind of comes slamming into the story. We are in a spiritual battle. This issue of your heart and the issue of receiving the word is an eternal spiritual battle. There is this endeavor going on, and somebody doesn't want you to get it. So any Sunday when you're having a struggle getting here to get it, understand there's more than flesh involved. There's opposition. And I had that conversation with someone just this week, just saying, you know, when you're having trouble and you're saying, I'm not even in the mood to be there, I'm just not going to get anything. You won't get everything, but if you show up, you'll get something. Okay, so you push yourself out the door by faith, by the Spirit, not by your flesh. See, that's one of the other things. You can start moving over right there when you're starting your day. Because you can say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. Not, oh yeah, somebody's going to call me if I don't show up at church. So I just may as well go there so I won't feel guilty. You're continuing to cultivate flesh right there. Don't do that. Take it to the Spirit and say, Lord, I don't even feel like being there, but I know you'll be there. You're going to be, or two or three are gathered. You're going to do something. The word will be taught. You always speak to me. I'm coming. And you'll find you've already moved. The soil has already softened before you get here. In fact, please, please, please pray before you come. You'll look better. You'll sing better. Can I get an amen, John? You're going to pray better. You're going to listen better. It will change you if you begin this life exchange with him. Okay. That's all free. It wasn't in the notes. All right. So, but he says here that the seed beside the road are those who've heard, and the devil comes and takes it away. And you just go, wait a minute. So when the preacher's preaching, when I'm reading, the devil can just come and take it away? Well, do your corollary, okay? So up there on the top of your notes, you've got the other passage. Turn me over to Matthew. We're going to do this on every point, so I want to make sure we get the dust blown out of your Bibles. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to talk about reality. Matthew 13, 3 to 9 is where that other part of the story is. But the interpretation is down here in verse 19. All right? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the devil comes and snatches it away. I want to show you here in a minute as we walk through that. If you understand it and you hang on to it, he can't take it. But if you don't get it and you don't grip it, you're going to lose it. He says he'll take away what is not understood, which is why I spend so much time working on understanding. All right? Because unbelieved truth is unproductive. If you don't get it, you don't understand it, you don't believe it, it won't produce anything. It won't go anywhere in your life. And you all know things that you know up here in the cerebral portion of your head that you don't really understand or believe in the heart portion of your life. And it doesn't change you. It's just there. And he says, here's how change comes. Change comes by understanding, okay? And so a hardened heart will never produce healthy fruit, friends. There's a change that has to be occurring in our lives, okay? So the hard soil is illustrating this concept, all right? So when you hear the word and you don't believe it, you lose it. So there's times when you're sitting out there or you're in your own God time and you read it and you go, I just don't buy that. That's just not how I'm experiencing life. Or I just don't see that. Or maybe you're just like, this just doesn't make any sense to me. At that moment, the seed sits on the top of the soil. It's just sitting on top of the soil. It's there. And remember, the life is in the seed. There is life there. There's a potential for that life to change your life. But if it is not understood, if it is not received, it will not bear fruit. Okay? And so seed on the hard ground won't grow. It's an interesting. You've seen mushrooms push up through pavement, haven't you? But you don't see mushrooms rooting down through pavement. Doesn't work that way. It has to have some root on it, okay? So truth on a hard heart won't influence. So there has to be this change. So we're in this battle, all right? And so even when you get up in the morning, remember I always tell you, no Bible, no breakfast, okay? So we want to take time with God early in the morning, but you'll find yourself in this groggy spot. And you're just like, man, I'm just so tired this morning. Have you ever wondered if that's spiritual? Not just physical? That there's not a great hunger for that? That if this was the morning that you were getting up and facing the execution of your life for the Savior, do you think you'd be groggy in your last time in the Word? You see, I mean, you know, we don't realize the battle that we're in, and so we can sleep right through it. So I just want to encourage you, when you feel groggy, get praying, all right? When you're having a trouble with this, just hang on to some of this. Grab some of this truth. Sunday morning, interesting time. Preacher spends quite a bit of time digging in the Word, slicing up steak, trying to serve it out. You take a piece, go, wow, that was really tasty. And you walk out, How quick is it gone? All depends on what the heart does with it. You know, you can go home and have roast preacher. Oh, I know that never happens here, but I've heard there are churches where that does happen, you know. But you can get to lunch and have already forgotten the meal that you were given. So that's one of the reasons we give you notes, is the idea of just encouraging you to engage your brain a little farther. And it doesn't mean you need to even fill in all the blanks. Some of you are like, I ain't doing that. That's okay, don't. But if you hear from God in the meeting, I encourage you, write it down. Aren't you glad somebody did that? When they heard from God, they wrote it down for us. Write it down for yourself. That's one of the reasons I journal in the morning. I just say, this is what I got out of the time I spent with God, writing down these things so that I move towards understanding, all right? Listen, one of the greatest ways to do that is to talk to somebody else about what you heard so that the birds won't steal it away. And there's all sorts of stuff that just happens as soon as you get out of here and just, and your thoughts are gone. And whatever God said to you, oh, what was that? All right. And if you got a good friend, encourage your friend this way. It's one of the great things you can do in small groups. Say, hey, what did you hear from God? You can talk to it. Your spouse. Say, hey, what did you get today? And if you want, you can even say, hey, what did you disagree with today? It's all right. Get your brain engaged and figure out what you need to wrestle with. All right. So, back to Luke 8. So in the sixth verse, it says, other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. All right? And I read that out of Mark because he specifically explained in the Mark 4 section that when it grew up, it had no moisture because it had no depth of soil. When the sun had risen, it was scorched because it had no root. All right, so he explained the biological thing that was going on is seeds can germinate, isn't that right? But they won't survive. All right? And so spiritual truth can germinate in your life and it won't survive. That's a little sobering. It can be there having that life potential to affect you and yet not go deep. And so we have to look at this. So this is that rocky soil, and there can be inside of us apathy, unbelief, bitterness, all right? There can be deception from previous perspectives that'll keep you from letting the truth penetrate farther. That's one of the reasons we encourage people to get in small groups, because when you get in a small group and you hear somebody else discussing it, some of that stuff that's hardened in your heart gets busted up, or maybe they pull out a rock because you've had this perspective. Sometimes when I'm sharing my faith, I called it field preparation. I talk with somebody and you realize there's just rocks in this person's life, and all you're doing sometimes is taking out a rock. And sometimes Christians, what you just want to do, you're just throwing a seed, and that's fine. You're never wrong to throw a seed, okay? But sometimes for productivity, if you know a person's got a hard spot, if you know they've got an unbelief, spending the time with them to talk about what they don't believe before you tell them what they ought to believe can actually help you extract rocks from their life, okay? Which will then give the soil, the seed, a place to actually grow into the soil. And so sometimes I have found, you know, some of you are testimonies to this, that it can take years to get some of the rocks out of somebody's life. And some Christians will, hey, I shared the gospel with them, they didn't receive it, too bad, they can go to hell. But are we willing to prepare the soil, to take some time with people, to bring them along? So under this one, understand this, that the affirmation of the word without application of the word leads to failure under testing. You affirm it. He says it receives it with joy. Good word this morning, Pastor. That was good stuff. Now, I'm not talking about you. It could be somebody you know, okay? But how many times have you really affirmed something and yet found that it did not ever show up. You agreed with it? Yeah, that's so good. But what the implications of that truth were never showed up in your life. You see, you can agree without acting, can't you? You can sit and applause without doing anything with it. All right? So understand, I'm inviting you always into a relationship with the living God through the living Word by the living Spirit. And so there is this relationship response we have, not just an agreement to, but an action upon. Okay? So you can appreciate something without purchase. Women have got this down to a T. It's called window shopping. Isn't that right? Now, men don't know how to do this. This is why men are far more scary when they go shopping than women. Because if a man appreciates it, he just goes out and spends the money and buys it. He can't not hold back. So men go out and buy big toys because they see it. And it's like, whoa, yes, great, fast boat. I need it. I need that boat. But a woman can go by and look at a window and go, oh, that's pretty, and that's pretty, and that's pretty. It'll drive a man crazy because she can go through 6 shops, look at 25 dresses, and come out appreciating all the dresses with no dress. That makes no sense to the male mind, okay? None at all. Just saying. But what I'm saying here is that's affirmation without application. So you can come here and say, hallelujah, great preaching, preacher, and not do anything with what he said to you. Remember, this isn't about me saying to you. It's about him saying to you, through me, I get to be the gutter, you know, the channel that flows through. He has something for you. And so when you affirm the word without applying the word, you fall. And so people wonder, well, that was a good message. That was a really good message. I had that conversation with somebody, and I know this has never happened in your life. You know, boy, church was so good. And man, my spouse and I had such a bad fight on the way home. You know, I mean, you understand it when you're coming to church, but you know, when you're leaving, you ought to be in a little better place, but there's no guarantee, is there? I don't know, we want to talk about that stuff. I'm starting to meddle now, okay? But you can agree with the idea without incorporating the implications of the idea. And that's the danger spot, because when you're an informed believer, and I know many of you are, when you're an informed believer, there's a lot that you know. When you've read your Bible, there's a lot that you know. And because I know, it means I'm doing it, right? See, that's the scary spot. See, I think because I know it, I had someone here recently when I was talking to him. He says, I've already read the Bible all the way through. He says, so I really don't need to do that anymore. I didn't tell him what I was thinking. Sometimes that's a very good thing for me not to do. But I thought, I've read that thing through 50 times and I still don't know all that it says, and I certainly haven't incorporated all that it says. I'm feeling like I'm getting old, and I'm still just trying to get some of this stuff. So understand this soil issue, okay? When you plant a garden, you want it to have compost in it. You don't plant your flower garden in a gravel bed, okay? So he says you can have seed germinate, and it will just wilt away. Why? Because the root never took hold of what? Of your life. Of the heart issue that needs to be dealt with that. All right? When walking through with my Saturday morning guys, walking through the principles of grace in a way to say, hey, you can agree with this amazing grace, how sweet the sound, seldom walked in by me. There's a lot of guys that can sing Amazing Grace. They can't show Amazing Grace. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So if I know grace, I ought to be a gracious parent. I ought to be a gracious grandparent. I ought to be a gracious neighbor. There's things that ought to change if I've got gripped by grace. But if there's no root in us, if it's not applied in us, it won't last. So when you see your own lifestyle inconsistent,
go look for the rock that's hindering the root going down. It's just a clue. Hey, there's something there that needs to be dealt with. If you see a plant and it's not doing well, you got to change the soil. You go work that up. You go after that. Okay, so it could be affirmed but not applied. It's just this shallow soil. So you and I can deal with that. But here's the other thing. Sometimes you'll see it in other people's lives as well. And we'll go, well, what's the deal? They seem so excited about the truth. They seem so, they came to church, they loved it, they thought it was wonderful. They never came back. Here's the principle. Here's the explanation. You can hear and affirm, but not apply. And when it does, there's no production. There will be no fruit. And in my perception, these first two soils, this is not saved people. This is not saved people. Now, it can also be applied to certain truths that you just haven't received. But when you're looking at salvation, if it does not stay, you're not saved. You can say, I think that's awesome, and still not walk with him. Many people walked away from Jesus in his lifetime. Many people. They heard the word, they agreed with him for a while, and then they walked away. So it's a challenge. All right, so let's take a look at the third soil. All right, back in Luke 8, all right, verse 14. The seed that fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard the word, go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures, and bring no fruit. Okay, now, it's just bugging me. I missed something I wanted to say about 13, so I'm going to go back and say it. It says, they fall away in time of temptation. But if you compare that over to Mark and Matthew, it says, if affliction or persecution arises because of the word, they let go. And so what he's saying is you can agree with it until it costs you something. You see, you say, that's a wonderful story. The grace of the cross is amazing, until you pick up your cross and you go, oh, that doesn't feel very good. And so he says, when affliction comes, when hardship comes, you'll know whether or not you're rooted by whether or not you bear fruit under hardship. See, when you don't bear fruit under hardship, it means there's rocks that aren't resolved. Okay, let's go back. All right, so verse 14. The seed fell among the thorns. These are the ones who've heard, and when they go their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. They're choked, but bring no fruit to maturity. It doesn't say they die. It says they don't produce. Have you ever had a garden like that? You got that tomato plant, it's big, it's green, but there's nothing red on it. You're just like, it'll bug you. You realize there's something not right about this. It's, you know, or sometimes you planned your vacation early in the year. You've never done this. You came back to your garden. You couldn't find it. You had a friend water it, so it was watered, but the weeds took over. And you were tired from your vacation. And so you said, I'll just keep watering it. What happens to the garden? Those plants still there. They're there. But they don't bear the fruit. The potential of your life will not be reached if the distractions of life are not dealt with. Friends, there's an issue here, okay? And so deception in your heart eliminates the productivity of the word. He says, these are those they've heard, but they're choked with what? Worries, riches, and pleasures. All right? My unresolved issues of my life will draw my heart away from the Word and from the Savior. And it's interesting. The Bible is full of all these stories, and all the stories in the Bible were there. Why? For our instruction. So you take a man who's heard from God on three occasions, Solomon, who's been given this great promise, I'll make you wiser than anybody else. He loves God. It says God loves him, and God told him that he loved him. God told him he made him wise. He started well. Why didn't he finish well? began to love foreign women. Okay? He let his heart be occupied with something that God said, don't let this occupy his heart. And it says, when you read his commentary there in Kings and Chronicles, it says, when he was old, they led his heart away. So for a while, he held on. And then when he was old, he drifted off. And so this issue, there's deceptions, okay? And so it's said here, the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. But once again, turn me over to Matthew 13, verse 22. Because he puts it, and this is why correlation is so good to do. He puts it in just a little bit different phrase and statement that I think makes more sense. If you put the two together, it clicks. At least it does for me. If it doesn't for you, you can just pretend like it does. Verse 22. Now the seed was sown among the thorns. This is the man who hears the word and the worry of the world. You haven't noticed that there's any worries in this world, have you? This world doesn't produce any worry. You know what? There's an awful lot of your news media. It is doing nothing but selling anxiety. And some of them may have a political bent that you like, but they still promote anxiety. I don't need to name names, do I? Do you need to put letters after? I mean, there's this whole thing. It'll create this tension. You get done watching the news, and you're like, quit watching it. It doesn't help. You go read it offline. If you need to know stuff, you can handle it a different way. The worry of the world, but what, the deceitfulness of wealth. Now, remember back when we were talking about having open-handed living in a tight-fisted world, we talked about that the riches of this world can deceive you. If I could just get a little more, I would have enough. Okay? There's this deception. And so your focus and your attention becomes the gathering rather than the growing. See, I mean, because it's getting rather than giving. There's a deceit that comes in, all right? Question. If your life is not bearing the fruit that you'd like to see, look for weeds. They look for weeds. Now, in your physical garden, it's pretty easy. You can come out and go, oh, shh, shh, shh. And weeds are interesting. They don't require much effort, do they? You know, every year, you know, you go walking out there, and there's these little cute little flowers in the spring. They got this little teeny branched outlet. It looks really sweet. And it turns into this nasty little cockle burr that sticks in your socks and your pants and your shoelaces. It's a weed. But here's the deal. A lot of weeds look like flowers when they start. Mm-hmm. Anybody hearing me? That stuff in your life, it looks like a flower, but it ends up being a weed. If it looked like a weed when you started, you'd pull it out. You have to be able to recognize that's not what I planted. That's not what I'm growing. And you have to deal with those things, okay? That's a critical factor, because when the world's values grow in your heart, all right, the word will be unfruitful. Those values for this stuff of life or being anxious about life, all these things will hold you back. He says here, the desire for other things in one of the translations. Is my mind on stuff or on the Savior? Because if the other thing that's funny is, not funny, but you'll see it. You might recognize this. You can get a bunch of stuff. There is nothing wrong with your stuff. It's just, what does this stuff do? Because you got that canoe. And you got that camper? And when are you going to use that stuff? And all of a sudden you find you're not here because you're out there. Now, it's not wrong to be out there. But if your stuff pulls you away from your Savior, you need to take a look at your stuff. All right? We can enjoy stuff. Stuff's not wrong. It's what our heart and how our heart responds to stuff that can make it wrong. The Bible says all things are created to be enjoyed. It's just when your enjoyment takes you into indulgence and your indulgence takes you into decadence, and then all of a sudden you are not devoted to the word, then it's a danger, okay? So, I mean, Matthew put it so clearly. He says, where your treasure is, what? There your heart will be also, all right? My heart always goes where I put God's money. So if you're not investing your money in spiritual things, don't expect your heart to go there. That is one of the most critical factors of giving that you'll ever understand, is it's not about just providing for the church. It's about teaching your heart what true spiritual value is. And when you give to God, you grow your heart. And God also uses that to provide for ministry. That's just his amazing way of doing things. But it changes your heart, all right? So I have to let this stuff grow, and so my heart has to be dealt with. So here's the issue. Am I cultivating flesh or am I cultivating spirit? Paul said in Galatians that do not be deceived. So if he says that, we already know. That's our tendency. He says God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Okay? And so I've thought this many times. I had people say it. They don't say it so much anymore, but it's that older phrase. It's, oh, he's just out sowing his wild oats. You ever heard that? I'm here to tell you, guess what he's going to reap? Wild oats. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind, because you reap more than you sow. If all you got was one kernel of corn for one kernel of the corn at the end of the summer, you wouldn't plant corn. It's the multiple ears. And when you sow evil, you'll reap more evil than you ever intended to reap. You thought, oh, I just did this little thing. Yeah. And you reap when? You reap in a different season than you sow. So it's not so obvious sometimes in the spiritual realm what's going on, because you think you're getting away with it for a while, and whammy, all of a sudden you're like, oh no, I planted that in my garden way back then. You go have this conversation with God. Where did this come from? And you can find where the weeds came from. All right? Listen. Your heart is your responsibility. Your heart is your responsibility before God. He can do that work if you'll let him through the word. All right? So then we get here in Luke 8 to the positive verse, to the good garden. All right? Verse 15, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who've heard the word in an honest and a good heart, hold it fast, and they bear fruit with perseverance. And in the other text, it says some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Friends, not everybody bears the same harvest. All right? You can't do the garden comparison thing. But the issue is that weeds will grow in your life if you don't deal with them. But if you deal with them, there is the potential for you to have productivity, all right? So something that looks pretty ends up being a mess. One thistle allowed to go wild, it's going to be a mess your next year. So, but look at this. The word thrives when? When it's accepted fully, held firmly, and applied specifically. That's how the word's going to thrive. When you come to this fourth type of soil, the word thrives when it's accepted fully, it's held firmly, and applied specifically into your life. Well-tended gardens can produce much fruit. Much fruit. In fact, it's pretty crazy how much it can produce, isn't it? I can remember one time I planted this cherry tomato in our garden, and Sweet 100, some of you gardeners can understand what those guys do. And I had some extra wood, so I just built this big frame, because you know those little three-ring tomato cages are worthless, except for holding your plant up when you start. So I built a frame that was 6 foot tall. It was 3 by 3 and 6. It came out of the top, down to the ground. We picked 5 gallons of cherry tomatoes off of one plant. Like, I don't want that many cherry tomatoes, you know? But there's an abundant harvest because we had well-cultivated soil, all right? So this issue is, understand that the word will thrive if it's accepted in your heart fully, if it's held on to firmly, if it's applied specifically, all right? What kind of heart? Look what he says. An honest and a good heart. There are issues of deception in all of us. We lie to ourselves about all sorts of things. He says, you have to stop doing that. You got it. You know, you can sit and get, well, you know, one more piece. I shouldn't use an illustration like this right before a church potluck, should I? One more piece won't really matter. Well, it might. There are things we just say to ourselves. Everybody else is doing it. What'd your mother tell you when you said that? So you're going to jump off a cliff if everybody else is doing it? But we do these little lies that what? These lies give us permission to sin. See? And if you drink in the word and you say, no, honesty, I need to value what God values the way he values it, and it produces something different in me. You've heard me talk about patience many times because I'm still growing in that area. But I've heard so many Christians talk about patience in an unchristian way. It's amazing. Well, don't pay for patience. I tell you what, if there's anything God tells you in the word is good, you should pray for it. Why don't you want to pray for it? Because you don't like the process. The process doesn't matter. The product at the end is sweet. And by the way, when fruit is born, who gets the fruit? Fruit's not for the plant. It's for everyone around it. What God is doing in your life is not just for you. It's to bless those around you. You ever thought about that? Your life is to be productive, not just so you can go, wow, what an amazing garden I have. It's so it'll bless those around you, that sweetness can be enjoyed. He says you need to hold it fast. So when you walk out of here, you need to go, I know what I'm hanging on to. All right? Do you know what you're hanging on to? Friends, what are you doing with the word that you're hearing? What's going on inside of you? All right? Because there's a plan that God has. And when you fully apply the word with perseverance, you will gain a great spiritual harvest. You keep working at it, you'll keep growing. Some of the saints that you really admire would not like to show you their gardens 30 years ago. Do I got some saints here? You know what I'm talking about? You say, oh, no, I wouldn't have showed off that. But now, pretty neat what God's done. It took a long time to get to this place. But friends, let this thing with perseverance take hold. You can bear a harvest. Jesus put it so clearly there in the upper room in John 15. And I just, you know, it's probably one of my all-time favorite verses. But he said, abide in me. Read it with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. But if you do something with what God gave you, there is a fruit opportunity. I'm going to go back one slide, Henry. Earlier this spring, one slide. Not that one. There we go. Earlier this spring, when you guys came into church, you received a bean. You guys remember that? That Sunday, we gave everybody a bean. This is the harvest off of one bean. Because somebody went out and planted it. And they cultivated it, and it grew. Friends, there is a potential harvest from one seed in your life. One thing that you begin saying, I believe it, God, I believe it. I'm going to walk that out. I'm going to trust you with this one promise. I'm going to trust you with this one principle. I'm going to walk this out with you. Friends, God has good plans. Is that true? Good plans, all right? So if you hear the word, you understand it. You understand it could be 30, 60, or 100-fold in the lives of people around you. that somebody else will get to enjoy that fruit. And that's what God intends for us to do, is to be those who bring blessings into other people's lives. Would you like some fruit this morning, Keith? And the interesting thing is, you know, when you...
That's really good. Shouldn't sit in the back. I never make it all the way to the back, you know.
Would you like some fruit? Now, why don't you be nice and share that with somebody behind you there? But the issue is this. When you act on the Word of God, the Word of God will bless you and everybody around you. Everybody around you. Now, we don't get to decide what they do with it, because there's some people out here who go, ew, fruit, I don't like it. I don't understand that personally. I am a fruit nut. I absolutely love it. But here's the deal. Good seed planted in good soil bears good crops. Amen? So, you've heard something. Have you understood it? You get it? You understood what the weeds were? You understood what the rocks were? The good soil is? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Friends, there is a potential for us to really grow. To really grow in our hearts, to really grow in our relationships, to really grow in our lives in ways that others wouldn't even recognize you if that happened. I had somebody whose employee started coming to church because the employer's life changed so much. And the employer had been a Christian for over 20 years. But all of a sudden, they began applying it. And they went, where's that guy going to church? Something's going on there. Is there something going on in your life? Because it doesn't matter how old you are. What matters is how much you're growing. Amen? Because this is not an age thing. That's the marvelous thing about a vine, like a fruit vine, like grapes. The older it is, the more productive it gets. Listen, you are a garden. Grow the Word. Grow the Word. I want you to think about this. Here's some questions I'd like to begin teaching us as a congregation to regularly ask, even in your small groups, you're regularly asking this. What did God tell you? Share it with somebody else. And then, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to act on that? When we begin to do this, you ask those questions of what is God doing in you? All right? So, let's just come before Him and thank Him for His Word. Father, we come to You. This Word brings life. You said if anyone hears Your Word and believes on You, You give eternal life to them. I just would ask that there's one listening today, that You would draw them to the Savior this very day, that everyone who believes on You receives forgiveness of sin. And for those who've come and been forgiven, Father, we recognize we've allowed an awful lot of stuff to happen in our gardens that You never intended. So we want to cultivate a fruitful garden. So thank You for giving us powerful, living Word as seed. Now, would You show us how to discipline ourselves, to arise each day and get into the Word, to finish the day and wash our minds again with the Word, to sing the Word to our souls and to those around us. Would You allow us to bloom the way You intend us to with the character of Jesus Christ for Your honor and for Your glory. Amen. Let's stand and give Him praise. And if you'd like prayer, the prayer team will be here at the front. You just come.